This morning we're going to continue a series that we started a few Sundays ago on the prayer of Jabez. And this morning is the prayer of Jabez, and we're going to look at the second request that he made to God in that prayer. And it's there to ask God for more influence, and he will answer you. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9 and 10, and that's what we find the prayer of Jabez as we look at the second part of the prayer this morning. And says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me and that you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Like I was saying, last time we look at how it says that his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And we said last time that in Hebrew, the word Jabez means pain or to cause pain. So the name literally could read that he causes pain. And Jabez's life was marked by pain and suffering. Either he caused it to others, or others caused him pain and suffering. So Jabez began his life with a handicap in the same way that many of us have begun this life with a handicap. But yet, he did something that turned his life around. And notice that it was not a degree that turned his life around. It was not a job and it was not a person. It was not the government that turned his life around. But it says there that Jabez turned to the God of Israel and began to cry out to him. And God changed his life from a life of pain and suffering and failure into a life of blessing and success. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez prayed a very specific prayer. And last time we looked at the cry that says, oh, that you will bless me. And this morning we're going to look at the second request, which is enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Now let's look at exactly what this request entails this morning. Number one, enlarge my territory is a plea for an increase of your influence. Enlarge my territory is a plea for an increase of your influence. See, the first thing that we ought to do is we got to recognize your present territory. What do you mean by that, Pastor Anna? What I'm saying is this. Influence is a very powerful thing. God has a plan for every one of us. And therefore, he strategically places us in places in life to exercise influence over other people. Every single one of us has influence over other people. If you are a parent, you have influence upon your children. If you are a manager or if you are a pastor, you have influence under the people that God has placed under your leadership. Every single one of us, God has a plan for us. And it's not a coincidence where he has placed you. He has placed you where you are in life because through that place and through the people that he has surrounded you with, he is about to do a mighty thing in this world. Now think about your days in high school. For many of us, we're talking 80, 90 years ago. Not for me, that was yesterday. But remember your days when you were in high school, and at the end of every school year, they did what is called a yearbook. I kept almost every single yearbook from my high school and college days. And when I look at my pictures, I get scared myself. But remember that time when they would prepare the yearbook in your school. Now I want you to remember something. Who were the ones who you wanted to sign your yearbook? Remember? I remember when I first got my yearbook in school, I would go around my teachers and my friends and say, can you please sign here? And who was the one that you really wanted to sign your yearbook? Was it the captain of the football team? Was it the homecoming queen? Or the homecoming queen, king? I had a class reunion years ago, and it's amazing what time does to you. Because when I look at the homecoming queen and king about some time ago, they look horrible. Now they're ugly people now. It's amazing what time can do to you. Was it the student class president that you wanted to sign your yearbook? But what about a school janitor? Did any one of us ever wanted a school janitor to sign our yearbook? Because there is such a case. I was reading an article the other day about a man called Steve Weiner. And he is the custodian at an elementary school in Illinois. And he says in the article that it makes him feel great that each and every second grade student will line up in the playground in order to have them sign their yearbook. A school janitor. And he says in the article that he signs about 104 of the second graders' yearbook after lunch, in addition to 200 more from other classes. How can a school janitor be so popular among students? What is it that this man does to earn the love, the respect, and the admiration of those children? Well, he says, all I do is I laugh with them. I have influence over these children because I have earned that influence. I help them. I love them every single day of my life. And I make myself accessible to them for whatever they need. And I also encourage them every day. You see, church, our jobs, our neighbors, our ministry, our relationships are all avenues through which God can use our influence to change somebody's life and to draw them closer to the love of God. God invites you this morning. God invites me this morning, just like Jabez, to pray, enlarge my territory. Increase my influence. Open up new opportunities for me. Use every moment of my life. Use every word. Use everything in me to further draw people into your kingdom. God wants to use you in your area of influence to expand his kingdom and to bless you as well. You see, there is a principle that the Bible clearly teaches us, and it's this. When you use your influence for God rather than for self or evil, God will prosper you and shower you with blessings. We see this in the life of Esther in the Old Testament. Esther used her influence with the king to save God's people. And the king one day asked her this question. What is it, Queen Esther, that you want? I will give it to you. He says, I would even give you half of my kingdom if you ask for it. What was that? The favor of God upon Esther.
Because she used her influence not for self and not for evil, but she used the influence that she had with the queen to advance the purpose of God and this earth. And that is the life, that is the heart that God blesses. How are you using the influence that you have and that the people that God has placed in your life?
Because before you can enlarge, before you can grow in anything, you need to recognize your present territory. Don't despise the place that you're in. It might be uncomfortable for you at times. You might not like what comes with it, but don't despise the place that you're in, because the place that you're in, God has placed you there for a purpose. And he has sent people your way, people that you have influence over, because you are the only avenue that God can use to reach them and change their lives. Think about the places where you have influence for the kingdom of God. Is it a school? If you are a school teacher, even if you are a school janitor, like we saw in the story, is it in politics? Is it ministry? Is it doing groceries in the grocery line? I don't know about you, but I have made wonderful friends at Publix. I have the same cashier that I have gone to for the last 20 years that I have been living in Pembroke Pines. And her and I have become really good friends. And I testify to her about my Christ every single day when I do groceries. Is it your neighborhood? Are you using that influence for God, to draw people to God, or are you being a negative influence for the people around you? We need to consider this morning the power of influence. You see, we need to realize this, especially as Christians. A single negative conversation. Never speak bad about your church in front of other people. Never speak bad about your pastors in front of other people. Never speak negativity about other Christians in front of other people. It grieves my heart sometimes when I go in social media and I see some of the things that some of us are posting there publicly. Slandering other churches, slandering other Christians, slandering leaders and pastors, even if they are in wrong. Never put that in public. Because a negative single conversation, something that we do out of impulse, when we react out of offense or hurt, a poor decision can lead to outcomes that are beyond what you can imagine. Being a negative influence has the potential to destroy someone's life. Let me repeat that again. Being a negative influence has the potential to destroy somebody's life. We need to learn how to vent as Christians. And the only way that a Christian can vent is in the presence of God and to Jesus. Christians do not vent to people. Let me repeat that again. We need to vent, or we need to learn how to vent as Christians. And something that I know many of us don't want to hear this morning. The only right way for a Christian to vent is to vent to Jesus. To vent when you are alone in the presence of God. But when we vent and when we express feelings to other Christians, we become a negative influence for them. And we become an agent that the enemy can use to sow discouragement, to sow confusion, and to sow dissension in somebody's heart. There was a woman in the Old Testament called Bathsheba. And she was David's neighbor. They were very good neighbors. And she lived right next to his palace. And she had a negative influence over David. One day, while David stayed in the palace, while his army went to war, she took a very innocent bath on the roof outside her condo.
so David could see her. And this action, although David was also guilty, I'm not only blaming the woman for the adultery, which is mostly what we do. It takes two to commit adultery. And the two are as guilty as charged. But in this case, her negative influence, this action, made David stumble. And he committed adultery with her. You see, negative influence can destroy somebody's life. Negative influence is destructive. Especially us women. Are you using your influence with your husband to draw him closer to Jesus and to the kingdom of God? Or are you using your influence to have him satisfy your personal needs and wants at whatever cost? The beauty, the talent, the ability that God has given you, women, how are you using it in this world? Are you using it to have others to lust after you? Or are you using it to inspire others to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You see, positive influence works the same way. A kind word, a righteous word, a wise decision, or a godly action can have a powerful effect that leads someone to Jesus Christ or can provoke someone to want to change. I was really inspired yesterday when I was here overseeing the workers that were finishing the ladies' bathroom renovation. And they are not safe. And one of them, when they were getting ready to leave, he looked at me and he says, "You know what? I'm going to say something to you. I have really enjoyed working here with you people. Because there's something different about all of you. There is such a grace, there is such a peace, there is such a joy with everyone. And everyone here has been so kind to us. We bought them breakfast every morning. We brought them water. We didn't have to do that. Even one of them," and I'm claiming him for this church because he's extremely talented with renovations and construction. He says, "You know what? One of these days I'm going to have my wife come here and visit this church." What am I saying? Positive influence can be a powerful instrument in the hands of Jesus to draw someone closer to the kingdom of God. You might never see the results of your influence, but rest assured that a life will live and a positive testimony will touch more people than what you think. Positive influence has more power in the hands of God than even your preaching. Because when we see us living the word that we speak, that has a grace, that has an effect on the people around us. They might not always tell you, you might not always see the results right away, but rest assured that your positive influence is changing lives around you. And I encourage you today to pray as Jabez prayed, "Enlarge my territory. Give me more influence for you, God. I want to be a person, I want a life that you can use in this life to change the life of others through my influence." Now, let's think about something before we pray that. Because praying that is not a small thing. It will demand much more of you. Because secondly, enlarge my territory is a plea for more responsibility. Enlarge my territory is a plea for more responsibility. How do you think that God can increase your area of influence? I'm going to give you the answer. An increase on influence brings an enlargement of your responsibility. Let me repeat that again. An increase of your influence comes through an enlargement of your responsibility. A person that is not willing to enlarge their realm of responsibility will never be able to stretch their life. And sadly, a great number of people have a desire to serve God, have a desire to do something for the kingdom of God in this earth, but they never fulfill their destiny. Why? Because lack of anointing? No. Because lack of prayer? No. Because of lack of talent? No. The main reason why most people don't fulfill their destiny is because they are not willing to assume any responsibilities. Enlarged responsibility brings an increase of influence. See, as a pastor, I have much more responsibility now than when I was sitting on a pew. Many times I long for the days that I was sitting on the pew because I didn't have to worry about nothing or nobody. However, I have much more influence over people's life now as a pastor than when I was sitting on a pew. You see, a prayer for more territory is not a petition for more stuff and material things. Rather, it is a plea that says, give me greater responsibility, give me greater influence, not for me, God, but to help others and to expand the work of your kingdom in this life.
Many times we think that the only way to expand the kingdom of God is by going door to door and evangelize. And yes, we need to do that. And yes, that is a very critical, important part of evangelizing this world and doing the Great Commission. But I also want to present to you this morning that a very powerful venue that God uses to expand his kingdom is our prosperity. It's our growth. It's our enlargement as a people of God. In the heart of every Christian, there must be a desire to stretch their lives. There must be a desire to be a better people for God. There must be a desire for more responsibility, for more promotion, for more opportunities to be better, to get to better places in life. Because through that influence and through that avenue, God can reach more people for the kingdom of God. You see, the ultimate divine purpose of our growth is that God be able to enlarge our responsibility. So many times I hear Christians saying, I want to grow. Okay, you want to grow for what? So that you can pray better? So you can be in church 7 days a week? So you can speak more tongues? What, when we say, Lord, I want to grow in you, why is it that we are asking that of God? Because almost every single Bible character that God through a period of growth and transformation, it was with the ultimate purpose of being able to delegate more responsibilities on them. God took Moses through 40 years tending Jethro's sheep in the desert so that eventually he could give him the responsibility of being the deliverer of God's people. God took David through a period of intense fire and growth while he was running away from King Saul in the wilderness so that he can give him one day the responsibility of being the king of the nation of Israel. You see, when you ask God to stretch your life, he will demand more of you. He will demand more faith and he will demand more growth. But that the reason that so many people don't reach more territory for God is that they have boundaries in their hearts. They really have boundaries that they don't want to cross. Why? Because they think that my life is better on this side that is more comfortable for me. I'm getting too old, therefore I don't want any more responsibilities. I already have enough. I don't want more responsibilities. So we all have boundaries, and by setting boundaries in the heart, we are really stopping the heart of God from stretching our lives so that we can be a bigger influence for him in this world. Our boundaries are inside of us. It's our thinking, our belief, our attitudes. And two of the most common boundaries that we have in our hearts are number one, fear of failure. And number two, selfishness. There are people that are not willing to assume more responsibility in life because they fear failure. I don't want to do this because I don't know how to do it. Or I'm afraid that I'm not going to be good at it. And then there's other people that say, I don't want more responsibilities in this life because I am very comfortable where I am. I'm too comfortable. I don't want to be bothered. I want to live an easy life. And we need to ask God to show us our limits. Limits that we have inside that do not allow him to enlarge our territory and allow the Holy Spirit to tear down the boundaries that we have given to God. Jabez was a young man whose life was marked by pain and suffering. And yet, the Bible says that his destiny changed when he understood that he is part of a greater purpose of God in this life. And when he understood that, he prayed, God, enlarge my territory. Help me be a better man for you. Allow me more land. Give me more land. Give me more responsibility. Give me more influence so I can focus people on your love and your grace and love. I'm not asking you all this for me, but I'm asking you to give me this so that I can be a better influence for others in this life. Your life, friends, is about God's purpose alone. And until we get to the point that you are willing to allow God to stretch your life for his glory, for his purpose, you will never find joy. You will never find contentment in life. A life that does not obey God's purpose, sadly, is a wasted life. Look at what the book of Colossians says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, reading of the Message Bible. The word of God says, use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. God has given you a life. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here this morning. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't have been able to breathe this morning when you open your eyes. You wouldn't be able to talk. You wouldn't be able to walk if it wasn't for the grace of God upon you. God has given you a life. God has given you purpose. God has given you talent. God has given you resources. And he doesn't want you to waste all these blessings in living a selfish life. In living a life that is only focused on satisfying self, on personal gain and sin. He wants us to make the most of every opportunity that he gives us. And lastly, enlarge my territory is a plea for supernatural intervention in your life. You see, God is the God of opportunity. Say, my God is a God of open doors. And it's a God of opportunities. But I'm going to give you an advice at the same way that I say this. And I always say this. Don't push the door down. Don't fabricate doors. God does not want us to fabricate doors. And God does not want us to push door down. When God opens a door, the door will be built by him and the door will be wide open for you to get through it. If you have to push the door, it's not God's time and it's not God's season for us. You see, an expansion of opportunity is a supernatural act of God. God enlarges your territory when he moves supernaturally to arrange circumstances and bring people together so that your purpose can be expanded. When God gives us a vision, and God is a God that gives dreams to his people. God is a God that gives vision to his people. But let's not make the mistake that Moses made. God gave him a vision one day that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel.
And then when Moses said that, I said, well, I got to do something about it. Let me help God. I'm going to push a door here. And when he saw an Egyptian abusing an Israelite, he took matters into his hands and he killed them. That means he pushed the door. And what ended up happening? He ended up failing. And he had to run away into the wilderness. God is a God that gives us dreams. God is a God that gives us vision. But God has a perfect time for your need. God has a perfect way for your dream. And when the time comes, the door will be right open for you. And all you're going to have to do is walk through it. You don't have to push or kick the door down. You will have only to go through it. And God arranges circumstances. God brings people together into your life so that your purpose can be expanded. God sent the prophet to David's house. And David was in the field minding his own business. You see, this is the funny part about God. When God sends promotion, God sends it in a time that you're not looking for it. He's still the God that uses a burning bush to speak to us. And when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, Moses was not looking for anything. As a matter of fact, I think that Moses had already forgotten about the vision. He thought that it was not for him. But God is a God that is faithful to do what he speaks to his people. And in the midst of his routine, Moses that day went to work like any other day. He was walking to the wilderness and attending the sheep. And in the midst of his daily routine, as he was doing the responsibilities that God had already assigned him, God spoke to him. God reminded him of the vision. God opened the door. God opened the way, sent him back, empowered him. And then things worked for Moses. What am I saying? God enlarges our territory in a supernatural way. God is going to move circumstances in your life in a supernatural way. God is going to place people in your life in a supernatural way when you least expect it, so that he can open the way for that purpose to be accomplished. David is another example. David, one day, he was minding his own business. You see, God uses people that mind their own business and are not looking for stuff. People that are responsible in the places where God has placed us. Those are the ones that he takes up, raises up, and sends to bigger and better things. So David one day was minding his own business in the wilderness, leading a whole bunch of sheep. And he had no idea that the prophet Samuel had visited his home that day. And he was the least favorite for the job. To the point that even the prophet of God, even the prophet missed the will of God in the matter. He was getting ready to anoint somebody else. And God intervened in a supernatural way. And he spoke to Samuel that day and said, stop, you are about to make a mistake. They are not the ones that I have called to be kings of my nation. But that young fellow that everybody has rejected, that nobody thinks about, that he's not even dreaming about being a king, that's the least that he has on his mind right now. He's playing a guitar all by himself over there and he's enjoying his music. But that's the one that I have chosen to be my king, because he has a heart after me. God is the God that is going to take you from a field into a palace. He wants to expand your area of influence. He wants to delegate more responsibility upon his people. But he will arrange events. He will arrange circumstances in your life to connect you to the right people at the right time. He will give you the right words to say. He will give you grace. He will give you talent. He will give you ability. He will give you supernatural resources. He will give you grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do a divine work for his purpose in this earth. And we must be able to recognize God-given opportunities to expand. I always say this. Whenever God gives us an opportunity to serve him or to do something in the kingdom of God, there is nothing to pray about. There is nothing to pray about when an opportunity comes our way to serve God in this earth. That is a God-given opportunity. That is a door that He places before us to do something extraordinary in this life for Him. But so often, we miss divine opportunities because we are so preoccupied with life. How would your life be different if tomorrow, Monday, of just walking through your days, focus on appointments that you have for yourself, appointments that you have to take ballet, appointments that we have to go to the dentist, to go to the doctor, appointments that we have with the painter or the decorator? How would your life be different if then you ask God to open your eyes and make you aware of the appointments that He has for you during the day? Knowing your God-given purpose changes everything, church. There is a boldness. There is a perspective that comes to our life when we get caught up in God's purpose to the world through us. Your life, my life, will be drastically changed when we allow God to enlarge our territory. When we allow God to increase our area of influence for His glory. I cannot settle for anything less than what God has for me. Don't you ever settle for everything less than what God has for you. Don't allow the lack of money or the lack of resources. Don't allow what people do, what people say. Don't allow even your age to be something that hinders you from stretching your life. Ask God, enlarge my territory. Increase my influence. Increase my realm of responsibility. It ought to be in the heart of every Christian. When we work for a company, to do our best, to be the best employee that we can ever be. If they ask us to work 40 hours a week, we should work 41. If they ask us to be there at 8 a.m. in the morning, we should be there at 10 to 8. If they ask us to do one form, we should do three forms. There ought to be in the heart of every Christian the desire and the vision that was on Jabez's heart. Lord, I thank you for what you have given me so far. I am contented what you have given me so far, but I want more. I want more responsibility. I want more influence. I want more, not for me, not to advance my purpose, but for your purpose, for your glory, and for your kingdom in this world. Let's pray for a few minutes as I ask the worship team to come. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that you are a God that has placed us strategically in different places in life. You have placed some of us here this morning in the school system. You have placed some of us here this morning in hospitals and doctor's offices, in hospices. You have placed some of us here this morning in politics and in areas of government work. You have placed some of us in construction work. Some of us in areas of ministry. And first of all, we repent before you this morning because so many times we have found ourselves complaining. I don't like this job. I don't like to work in this company. I don't like this church. I don't like to do this. I don't like to do that. But we understand this morning from your word that it's not a coincidence that we are where we are in life. That it has been you. It has been your hand that has orchestrated circumstances, that has sent the right people our path to place us in areas, in arenas, through which you have given us influence. Influence over school students. Influence over doctors and nurses and sick people in hospitals. Influence over government workers. Upon members of a church. Influence upon men, upon women, upon young people, upon children, upon teenagers. Influence. You have given us influence in the many areas that you have placed us in life.
And because of ignorance, many times we have allowed discontent to come into our hearts. We have complained before you. I don't like to do this. I don't like this job. I don't like to go to this office every day. But Lord, help us to understand that it's not about us. It's not only about what we want, what we desire, and what we see. Because you see even beyond what we can see. And there are people that we come across every single day of our lives. Students, teenagers, neighbors, family members, people that are watching us, that are looking at us every single day of our lives. And we might be the only way, the only avenue that you have to be able to reach their lives, to be able to manifest yourself to them. And I pray this morning, beginning with me, that we will not be a negative influence in anybody's life. But that in the way that we speak, in the way that we react to people and circumstances, the way that we do and perform our jobs every single day, whatever that job is, that they will see you, that they will see your wisdom, that they will see the presence of God, that they will see something different in us. And it will be you, it will be your presence. Do this work in every single one of us this morning. Yes, my God. And I thank you for the places where you have placed us. Help us to be faithful, to be committed, first of all to you and then to the people that you have placed us to serve where we are, so that your purpose can be accomplished, in Jesus' name.